My guest in the studio today is Jaroslav Brzoch, a Czech MP who is running in the European elections for the ANO party. Welcome to the studio, Mr. Brzoch.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Brzoch, the ANO party is campaigning in the elections under the motto Everything for Czechia. Can you elaborate on that? What are you offering voters and what interests are you promising to defend?
It's actually quite easy. When we says everything for Czechia, we mean that we also gonna be, I don't like that use the word, but fighting for also our values, our goals, what we having inside the European Union. It's all about what we see with the European Commission, with the way how European Union is treating some member states, and the direction what's now being set up by European Commission. So it means that we need better Europe. And if Europe is better, then it's also the best way for the Czech Republic.
What are the hot priorities at this point that you feel have to be addressed?
The main priorities for us is definitely internal security of European Union, and we can talk about the conflicts that we are having around Europe or in the Middle East, but it's connected with migration definitely. Then the Green Deal, but not Green Deal itself, but just parts of that legislation, like the package of Fit for 55. And then the last but not least, to have still some words on it's all about the veto.
Right, well, let's look at some of those things individually, and starting, as you said, right of veto. ANO has been very vocal about the need to maintain the right of veto in the areas where it still applies. Why do you feel that it is so important that it be maintained?
I think that if all the member states can sit around the table and discuss many topics and finally find some conclusion and compromises, it's still better message to the rest of the world that we are still connected and we talk as one European Union and member states are strongly together. We have one voice and we talk a simple language for whole Union.
A very divisive issue is migration. It's one of the big topics. It's one of the things that Czechs are most concerned about. The Czech government abstained in the vote on the migration pact. It has come under fierce criticism also from the opposition, which says that there are massed quotas there and it sees a lot of problems that have not been addressed. What is your take on the migration pact?
I'm always saying that it's not worried me the most what is included now, but what is not included. It's a better security on the borders. It's readmissions, because so far we don't have the best cooperation with the countries when the migration coming from. Not even the countries where it begins, but also from the transition countries. And that's not in the migration pact. We need also to focus on fighting the smugglers and organized crime. And that's also not in the package included. After more than 10 years, because the crisis started in 2011 already, then 2015. We don't have any tools how to try to stop and fight the organized crime, what is biggest part of the illegal migration. So many issues in the migration pact, but mainly for me, it's what's not included.
Pundits talking about these elections say that the new makeup of the parliament will be decisive for the future of the Green Deal. That is another hotly debated issue in this country. People are concerned about the ban on combustion engines because obviously our economy is driven by the automotive industry. They're concerned about the ban on gas boilers, and they're concerned, we've seen farmers protests against restrictions linked to the Green Deal. How would you want to revise the Green Deal? What do you feel is simply not viable at this point and will not work?
The first part of it, the first point, the most important one, that the Green Deal itself, if you look at it from the wider view, it's a good idea because everyone wants to have a better environment. We know what's happening to the planet. The planet is just one. We can't move anywhere. And the goal to reduce the emissions is one of almost everyone can agree on. And the issues what we're having, it's not about keeping the water in the land or biodiversity, woods and bringing up new trees in the woods and stuff like that. The main issue is with the decarbonization. Because for the last few years, the EU Commission sent to member states a big amount of the legislation regarding the decarbonization. But it's not just about the legislation itself, like combustion engine, but it's also about the regulations from the companies, so reporting, and etc. etc. I'm also what I see as a biggest risk for European competitiveness. For example, it's emission allowance system, because it's not working well. And if you compare United States with 30 euros per emission and the European Union 80 to 100 per emission, it's obviously not working well for the companies and for the productivity of industry in Europe. Also, if it comes to combustion engine, there are still many things what someone can actually reply. If we talk about the weight of the electric car, if we talk about how much money the companies, European companies like Volkswagen, Skoda, BMW spent on building up that combustion engine, was the productive one, and it's not that bad on the emissions, etc., etc. So if we are closing and putting that much pressure on our companies, then obviously we are losing the competitiveness, and that's what the worries me the most. If you look to the other side of the world, like United States or even China, they have the same goal. They push it forward to 2060 about being zero emissions. But what they did, they put many investments on, for example, coal power plants. They built up in a few years so many coal power plants that it got power like 20 Temelins in if we build up in Czech Republic. But the my point where I'm getting is that they're using that profit what they're having to build new technologies, invest in new technologies. But if we are let's say choking our economy and the companies, they won't have enough money to invest in the new technologies. And that's what we are seeing now, that even China is find ahead of us with new technologies and with progression with, for example, renewables and the other stuff. But if we have the price of electricity, what are we having, and our companies are not competitive enough, even Czech companies are now moving to, some of them are moving to United States, that's what worried me the most.
Obviously, Europe needs to increase its competitiveness against countries like the United States, China, and India. Apart from these aspects now linked to the Green Deal, what would help Europe increase its competitiveness? Is it overregulated? Do you feel that less regulation would...
Yeah. The main thing is also the regulation, because we are overregulated, and if we talk about if we talk to the private companies, they usually say that they don't even know what they have to report every each month, because it's too many legislation put on them and the regulations. But what would help, the trade must be predictive. And now at the moment it's unpredictable, and not just because the emission allowance is the price of that, but it's volatile, and because it's trade system, so there are also some speculations on that. And if the companies have no idea what's going to be the price for energy in next months and that month, and what's going to be new regulation regarding the Green Deal, then they can't invest, because they don't know where to invest. They don't know if they got enough power to even make their production working. And that's what we feel it's wrong. Because first goal of us should be that we put some price ceiling on the emission allowances, just to say to the business, okay, that's predictable, that's what you need to know, and that's how we follow at least for a few years, just to set up, slow down a little bit, and make the competition, make the competitiveness in the European Union growing, and not being behind the states like China or United States. So, in our opinion, with the Green Deal, with all the legislations, we need to take step back at least, look at and the impact what it having on what it has on our competitiveness, and then deal with it. There are some clauses in the Fit for 55 package. We know that after 2 years we will see again the results, if the combustion engines was a great idea or not. I don't think it was the best idea of European Union, but if we talk about 1, 2, maybe 3 years, then it could be late. And if not, for example, German's economy is not doing well these days, and if it's gonna have bad impact on Germany, on their economy, that's for us it's crucial, because we depend mostly on German's economy. So I think that we don't have that much time to get back to it in 3 or 4 years, because then China with what they are now doing could be.
What about subsidies? Because we've heard in these farmers' protests, for instance, they say it's so unfair, the subsidies around Europe, that it would be better if there were no subsidies at all. So how do you feel about that?
No, that's obviously an issue. And actually, the agriculture is it's other part of the Green Deal, what's not done yet. So that's why we see all those protests, because they know that it could have very bad impact. And that's also the point, because we can't say to the people from 2027 we are gonna put emissions also on the housing, also on the private cars. And if you can't afford it, we probably find some funds to give you money for that. But money is asked of still member states, and also there they need to contribute also if they want to get some finances from European Union. So I don't think that it's the way. The way must be the free trade must be more free than overregulated. The system is wrong. And in agriculture, because if you look at the agriculture, it's still like almost one quarter of the European budget is going to agriculture. Used to be 70%, so it's now better. But it's still a huge amount of money going to agriculture. And if you talk to the farmers, they don't even want that money. They want to have the farm working on it with less regulations.
But what about your concept of self-sufficiency? Is that viable at all in the present day and age in Europe?
We are still quite a big economy, and but we can be leaning on that someone will bring us batteries, someone will bring us pharmacy and or even goods from agriculture. We need to build it up, and that's also issue when we were trying to decarbonize European Union really fast, and we export all the technologies, for example, to China. They learned it well, but now we are in the stage that we can't actually cut off from China, even in pharmacy. So yes, we need to focus on what we can build, or what we can grow, or what we can or even the minds, what we can have here in the European Union, and focus on better cooperation within the European Union, of course.
Looking at a future European Union, are you in favor of expansion? Are you in favor of a close-knit union or a looser alliance of countries? What would be your vision there?
My vision, I was saying that the doors to European Union should be open. We have quite strict rules and procedures, and if the states around, for example, Albania or North Macedonia, if they fulfill all those rules and close all the chapters what they are now going through, we should bring them into European Union. And why we need those states around, it's also better for our economy, but also because if you look at it from the security point of view, because the Balkan states are also important for us because of migration and security, internal security for European Union. So doors should be open, but on the other hand, there's no shortcut into the European Union.
Well, we started off speaking about security, so let's wind up with it. There is a war raging just 300 kilometers from the country's eastern border. The Czech Republic has been actively helping Ukraine from the start of the war, militarily, humanitarian aid in other ways. Now some parties, including your party, are stressing the need for peace talks to start, because they say that basically the situation is dragging. Can you explain why you think that Europe should stop providing Ukraine with military aid or basically push for peace talks?
First, I need to disagree with your question, because no one from ANO movement, I can't speak on the other opposition party, but no one from ANO movement never ever said about we should stop support Ukraine. I don't know anyone from ANO movement who will say that we should stop support Ukraine, even militarily, because we are well aware that Ukraine without the guns, without the ammunition, can't even stay on the lines where they are now. So we need to support them, and we are not saying to stop
it. So let me rephrase the question: but what do you think is vital now for European security?
Vital for European security. We're gonna see the first try of the peace conference, which should be in Switzerland. But also at the other end, we have many good diplomats all around Europe, not just in Europe, also in the United States, even the other countries. And we should put all the effort to start talking about some armistice, because every each day when people are dying, when the infrastructure in Ukraine is being hit with rockets, then it's worse for the Ukraine itself to rebuild one day after the conflict is over. So it's not about stop supporting Ukraine, but it's all about to have also the other plans, like what we are gonna do with putting all other states around on table and say we need to stop fighting. We need at least armistice. It's not the easiest way to get peace, but at least to stop fighting. Stop fighting, people will stop dying. But I'm always saying that we are part of UN, and in UN, if you see the voting on the resolutions against Russia, there are still many states who abstained or are voting against it. And those are the states where we should aim, all our diplomatic power what we're having, and talk to them, like try to bring them on our side. And also we need to offer them something. It's still business in between the states, but that's what we should aim on, and trying to isolate Russia more and more and show them, okay, just sit around the table with us, deal with it. If not, we will do all what we can just to stop you.
Mr. Bjoch, one final question. Why is it important that people go to the polls and vote in the European elections? And why should they vote for your party?
It's an important question, because if you look what because I'm still a member of parliament, I can in Czech Republic, so I can see how many legislation talk about, like 70% of legislation what we are dealing with in the parliament, it's coming from the European Union. So people should know that it's not something that Brussels is far away from Czech Republic, but we are Brussels, let's say. And we need to have people with common sense back in the parliament who can do the best, not just for a Czech Republic, but also for better Europe.
Jaroslav Bjoch from the ANO Party, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.